As we go into this time, we will once again this week be turning to the Gospel of Matthew, the 13th chapter, as we continue to discuss and learn from God's Word how it is that we live in the present but not yet reality we find ourselves in. And the fact that we live in a promise, a present promise that hasn't yet been fully fulfilled. We live in a present kingdom that is still not yet to fully have come. We are living a life that is present, a life that Jesus promises us, but yet, that is still kind of just yet and off in the distance. A tension that we experience because we live in a time between times as we eagerly wait with great anticipation for the fulfillment of it all through Jesus' return, his second coming. For Christ has come, Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will. He will come again, finishing what he started so long ago. He's not going to leave us in this place forever, this place of tension. He will come again and set the record straight, set this world that's been turned upside down back on its feet again. He will bring restoration. He will reclaim us. He will redeem us. He, just like the whole of creation, will make us new again. But yet, now, for now, we live in the tension in between the times. We live in the tension of today and what's to come tomorrow. Tension that we've spent some time talking about in great detail these past 2 weeks. Tension that we've been asking the question, how? How is it do we do it? How is it that we live well here now? How is it that we experience God's kingdom, God's presence, that life abundantly that Jesus came to bring us here and now? How is it we do it, and how is it we do it well? Understanding that God has a purpose for all of this. He has a purpose for each and every one of you in this. God has a plan, as we discussed in our very first week of this series. God knew there would be tension. He knew there would be troubles. He knew that there would be pains in this world because we're not of this world anymore. He has called us out of the world, but yet has prayed for us to remain in it. Well, why? So that we would continue his mission. We would continue the mission he gave us through the Great Commission, to know him more and more so that we can make him known all the more, to make more and better disciples, to baptize all nations in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that he has commanded us. And he is not slow in this process. Rather, he is patient, as we have read every week, 1 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Church, this is why we exist in the tension. This is why we have great purpose in the tension. This is our mission in the midst of it all, until that glorious day of his return. Just like that old classic hymnal sings, what a glorious day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face and know he has saved me by his grace. What a day, a wonderful day that will be. But until that day, it still is the Lord's day. It is still a glorious day because he has given us an important mission to bring him honor and glory throughout this world, encouraging and spurring one another on and others to come and grow more and more into Christ and to bring others along on that journey. Just like we talked about the parable of the wheat and the weeds. As we've been looking at the parables of the kingdom in this section of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, known as the parables of the kingdom of God. Understanding, if we are to live well in this tension, we must understand what it is that Jesus tells us about his kingdom. what his kingdom looks like, what it means to live in it, what it means to actually work in his kingdom, to do his kingdom work, what it looks like for that bit of heaven to break through here on earth. Bringing us not to our next parable, but our next two parables. For we're going to be looking at two very similar parables today, but though they are similar, they are very different in their application to what they have in our life. But yet they go hand in hand with one another. Are we all confused yet? There are two parables that are back to back. The parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven. And in fact, we're going to pick right up where we left off last week after the parable of the wheat and the tares. And we're going to be starting to go right into verse 31 through 33. Understanding that immediately after Jesus teaches us what our role is in the tension, it's not to determine who are wheat and who are weeds, but it's to be the best darn wheat we can be. That is our job. That is our role in the midst of the tension, in this time between times, is to be the best wheat that we can be and produce that crop that's 30, 60, and 100-fold. But it says in verse 31 of Matthew 13, he put another parable before him. So Jesus is still talking. Jesus is still teaching. He just taught us about the wheat and the weeds, and now he's going to give us another parable, it says. The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in the measure in three measures of flour till it was all leavened. Have you heard the expression, a little bit goes a long way? Can anybody explain that expression, that idiom that we have in our culture? What does that mean? A little bit goes a long way. You want to take a crack at it, Lucas? Here, I'll come to you.
Like soap, what you always say.
Like soap. He likes to pump like six things of hand soap into his hands before he washes them, and it gets everywhere. A little bit goes a long way, right? It only takes how many pumps?
One
or two. Thank you so much for that, Lucas. A little bit truly does go a long way with many things in this life. And that's something that Jesus kind of coined. He's the one that first spoke about it right here in these two parables where he shows us how a little bit of something can become a great deal of something. In regards to the kingdom of heaven, though, the kingdom of God, we have to ask the question. We have to ask this very important question, in particular with these parables, is what is it about that little seed? What is it about that leaven in the flour that causes such drastic growth, that causes such drastic change? He first begins to explain this through a mustard seed. He said to them, that the kingdom of heaven was like a grain of mustard seed. Now, a mustard seed, that's a very interesting correlation that we don't often make in our lives. If you're a gardener, you may make that correlation. If you do some research on California and mustard, we see mustard as this annoying weed that causes wildflowers. There's news articles all over the internet. Wildfires, not flowers, sorry, causes wildfires. There's news articles all over the internet explaining how it's just this invasive weed that just takes over everything. And, you know, mustard plants really do that. Whether it's the small weed or the tree or the bush, they come in many shapes and sizes, depending on what kind of mustard seed you use. But nevertheless, Jesus is talking about its seed here. It is, as he says, the smallest of seeds. It's this tiny little speck of a seed, and he uses this illustration quite a bit. You know, he says in Matthew 17, 20, he said to them, because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like the grain of a mustard seed, You will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Then, from the perspective of Luke, Luke records this in chapter 17:6, and the Lord said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. The point being, Jesus uses this illustration a lot. But what is it about this illustration? To kind of give us a comparison of this mustard seed compared to what it can grow into, I have a picture that actually shows a mustard seed with a mustard tree. And so this kind of gives us a perspective of that little tiny speck of a seed with the tree that can come from this. This particular seed plants a mustard tree. Once again, though, there are mustard bushes, there are mustard weeds. The point being, the seeds are all tiny, just like that one. And something massive grows forth from it. In fact, one writer once wrote a helpful commentary on this piece, and he said, mustard bushes can reach an average mature height of between 6 and 30 feet. 6 and 30 feet for just a bush. Who wants that in their home garden? Jackson, you want it in your home garden. That's why he raised his hand. But yeah, it's not something you technically would plant in your home garden. It's not something you would want in your home garden. Because as Jesus says, it is the largest of plants. To us in California, it's an invasive plant. It takes over the field. But it all comes from this tiny little seed. And we have to understand what Jesus is doing here. As him and his disciples are walking town to town, he's teaching them. Like we talked about last week, they're walking down the road and he sees a farmer sowing seed and he says, you know, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who went out and sowed good seed. And as they walk down further along the road, he says, you see that mustard bush over there? That mustard tree, weed, whatever we want to call it? You know, it comes from this really tiny seed. And it becomes this massive plant. The kingdom of heaven is like this, conveying to us a really important reality about living in the midst of the kingdom of God and the tension that we experience each and every day in this present but not yet state we find ourselves in. Whether it's a tree, a bush, or a weed, the point is the kingdom of God operates like this. It comes from this small, tiny seed and becomes massive. Jesus is speaking of the humble beginnings of his kingdom here on earth. And if we can't think of those humble beginnings, let's just stretch back 3 months ago when we celebrated Christ's advent into this world, as we celebrated his birth. He wasn't born in a palace. He wasn't born to kings and queens. Rather, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, was born as a baby to someone betrothed to a carpenter in a stable in a feeding trough, making many wonder, how could that child have any significance to make an impact that would change the world? How could a 3-year earthly ministry that ends in crucifixion, as the world thinks it ended, but no, it only began with crucifixion. It was just beginning with crucifixion. But how could that have any significant impact? You know, Jesus had no rank or status amongst the world. In fact, those who had rank or status hated him and crucified him because they couldn't stand him. One commentator put it best, and they said, the life and death of Christ did not catch the world's attention any more than a mustard seed would lying on the ground by the road. But this was the work of God. What seemed inconsequential at first grew into a movement of worldwide influence that no one could stop. Don't we see this clearly through the book of Acts? They try to stamp out the disciples, but they keep coming in force and they keep multiplying and growing. Aren't we today a testimony of this? The kingdom of God cannot be stopped. It has taken root here on this earth, and it has truly grown and grown and grown, and it's continuing to grow, just like a mustard bush in the Middle East, which is most likely what Jesus was talking about. Here's a picture of a mustard bush that is fully matured. It comes from that little itty-bitty seed. And it becomes a place of refuge, as Jesus says it would in the second half of verse 32, so that the birds of the air come and make nest in its branches. The birds of the air come and make nest in its branches. It becomes a place of safety. It becomes a place of security. It becomes a place of hope where the birds can find home. I think about that video we showed of what CityServe is doing right now in the name of Christ in Ukraine, doing just this. The kingdom of God is that small, tiny little mustard seed that got planted and has burst forth into this tree that spreads over this whole world, doing exactly what Jesus says it would do, exactly what we're supposed to do, providing shelter and protection to those who need it. Leading others to the place of hope, where I guarantee you, if you're in the middle of a dry, parched desert, but you see a plant like that growing, you find hope. You find hope. You find shelter. You find shade. What started as a rejected rabbi and a motley crew of 12 disciples turned into a worldwide movement. A movement that we belong to, that we are a part of as his children, as his church. A movement that begins with understanding God's kingdom, being that it is his rule and reign, making us ask a very important question in regards to this. Have we accepted that kingdom into our lives? Sure, we may have accepted Jesus as our Savior, but have we accepted him as our Lord? Because as we've talked about, this mustard seed, this little tiny seed becomes this huge plant that takes over the garden. Have we allowed God to do that kind of work in our lives? To take over the gardens of our lives? Have we made way and moved out of the way for Christ's rule and reign? For the kingdom of heaven is like this, that once that seed is planted, it starts to grow, 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 and grow. Have we allowed it to grow, or are we chopping down the branches? Have we allowed it to grow, or did we transplant it somewhere else? Have we allowed Christ rule and reign in our lives? The big question this parable makes us ask, bringing us into the very next parable that Jesus teaches us, which provides for us the answer to all those questions and many more. It's the parable of the leaven, or yeast, whatever you want to call it, which Matthew rightly puts right after the parable of the mustard seed. You know, he intentionally thinks, you know, Jesus taught these to us when we were walking down the road, and they're connected, because yes, they are very connected. These two parables go hand in hand with one another. Not that they're both about small things becoming big things. In fact, leaven doesn't really change into anything. Leaven is leaven. Leaven doesn't change. Leaven changes things. And so Jesus is talking about something completely different, another application of the kingdom of heaven here, but it deals with the growth of the kingdom and how it is we know that the kingdom is truly taking root in us, that mustard seed is bursting forth from our life. Jesus is showing us exactly how this actually happens. As he says in verse 33 of chapter 13, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. Now, as I approach this parable, I realize something. I have a very limited knowledge of baking. And I'm sure there's some here, too, that have a very limited knowledge of baking. So I immediately called someone who I knew was a master baker and said, would you please help me? And she is going to save me a lot of time and research. And so Patricia has agreed to come up here and answer a few questions I have about leaven. Thank you. Can we give her a round of applause? Patricia, in short, could you explain to us the difference in bread that that is leavened and not leavened and the cooking of those two types of bread.
Unleavened bread is something like a flatbread. You buy crackers. Leavened bread is something like sourdough, wheat bread, the loaves that you can make good sandwiches.
Everyone loves sandwiches. Does it take a lot of yeast to get bread to rise?
We have one recipe for bread that calls for 5 cups of flour and 1 tablespoon of yeast.
So 5 cups of flour. Yeah. Okay. Does it take time for the bread to rise, or does it just automatically do it all of its own?
No, it does take time. And the way the yeast works is that you put it with a warm liquid, typically water, and it takes time to make that work. The warm water releases the inner cell of the yeast to work. And there's different types of yeast, which is a little involved, but the yeast is activated, if you will, by the warm liquid.
Just one more question. Once I put yeast in my dough, can I ever take it out?
Oh, no. Would you be able to unscramble an egg? Okay.
Yes, thank you so much. Let's give her a round of applause. Thank you so much, Patricia, for perfectly just explaining all of that and really the application of this parable. That little bit of yeast can bring about a great change. Understand, the yeast isn't what actually changes in itself. The yeast is what brings the change to the bread. We are the bread. The gospel seed is the yeast. And when it's planted in us, here's a hope that we have. It changes us permanently. There's no going back. Once the seed has taken root, it brings change in us, showing us what Jesus is teaching us to know whether we've allowed God's rule and reign in our life. Have you been changed by the gospel? What change has your relationship in your walk with Jesus brought to your life? The answer to that question is the answer to the first question we asked with the parable of the mustard seed. If you've invited God's rule and reign into your life, that means there would be evident and noticeable change in your life. How has God changed you? Understanding it's not a temporary change, it is a permanent change. He changes the way we think. He changes the way we act. He changes what we do each and every day. He turns us as accepting God's rule and reign requires repentance, which literally means to turn, to change our direction. How has God done that work in your life? Knowing it doesn't take a lot of that work to bring drastic change. Because, boy, you can tell the difference between a cracker and a loaf of bread, can you not? You could tell a whole load of difference between those things. When God's kingdom comes into our life, it changes us for the better, permanently. And this is why he came, is it not? Something that I've said time and time again behind this pulpit, because it's so important for us to understand that Jesus comes to change us. He comes to make us better. He comes to give us authentic life, everlasting life, without sin, without death being a part of it. This is why he died. This is why he rose. This is why he will come again to finish and do just this. Because Jesus didn't die. He didn't rise. He didn't promise that he would come again so that we would remain the same. What's the point in that? It's an effort of futility if we would remain the same. No, he died. He rose and he will come again so that we would be made new again. That we would be made once again how he created us to be, his children, showing us how it is we are to live in the tension here and now. surrendering and giving ourselves over to his kingdom, his rule and reign, his will, not our own, his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Allowing Jesus to bring about that kingdom growth in our life that brings about drastic change. And change can be scary. It can be a real scary thing. But let me tell you, Jesus never told us it was going to be pleasant. He never told us it was going to be easy. He told us it was going to be worth it. For as he says in the Gospel of John, you know, that famous text that we've returned to and returned to and returned to, that in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. In this world, we will have trouble, but he has overcome the world. And when we walk in him, when we allow his rule and reign into our lives, we get to witness him do just this. As he changes us, we witness him changing others through us, in us. Because the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, so small in nature, but grows and bursts forth as this massive plant. And it exudes out from us into others. It brings about lasting and permanent change because the kingdom of God is like a little bit of leaven put in some flour. Have we accepted God's rule and reign in our life? The answer to the question is, have you been changed? May we go to the Lord as we go into this time of conclusion, bringing us to a time of response and reflection. May we ask those questions. Have I accepted God's rule and reign in my life? Do I see where he has brought about lasting change? Do I see where in my life he has truly created in me a clean heart and renewed a right spirit within me? For this is the work of the gospel in our lives, and this is how we live well in the midst of the tension that we experience each and every day. This is the word of the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Amen.